By the grace of God, I'm then named the principal of Lincoln High School, which was at the time the largest high school in Central Ohio. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever see that happening.
This is Coach Tim Brown with Be a Baller Podcast, and I'm excited today to have as a special guest, Dwight Carter. Dwight is a nationally recognized school leader, speaker, presenter, and author from Columbus, Ohio, right here in the great city of Columbus, go Bucks and all that kind of good stuff. But today we want to talk about Dwight's over 20 years in education and being a school administrator and a leader in that field. And so, Dwight, welcome to the show.
I appreciate that, Mr. Brown. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, you've had a great career in education. When did you know you wanted to pursue education? When did that hit you?
This is a great question. I would say it was early middle school, late elementary school, around fifth grade, maybe seventh grade is when it was like really baked in. What I noticed is that people would, my peers would constantly come to me to ask for help or something like that. The teachers looked towards me to help other students.
Right.
And I just thought it was just being nice. I wasn't anticipating this is what, you know, I should be doing or called to do or expected to do. It was just being nice. But then when I entered high school, I had a introductory to business class, and I said, "Oh, I want to be a businessman." Did not enjoy that class at all.
Right.
I figured I just went back to what I thought was going to happen. Like I said, between fifth, sixth, seventh grade, and decided on that I was going to be a teacher.
Wow.
I just had to decide what I was going to teach, but I knew I wanted to be a teacher.
Hey there, Clark Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to home ownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I was doing some research and I read a story about you and your third grade teacher.
Yeah.
That third grade teacher experience. Yeah. You were trying to get to Kings Island.
Yeah, Miss Sinecki.
Yeah,
man.
You want to talk about that experience?
Yeah, no, Miss Sinecki was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
She was a teacher of all the kids in my neighborhood, mainly on 22nd Avenue. So I grew up on 22nd Avenue in the Linden area. And we had like legends like Reggie Rankin, Doc Ward, Monty Raglan, you know. So we grew up watching and admiring them. And so Miss Sinecki was also their teacher. And we saw how actively involved she was with the families and everybody. So I was able to get her as my third grade teacher. And then one day sitting at, we were doing math, you know, just basic, you know, computation. And she saw me using my hands. She said, "You know, you don't have to do that." And we had these time tests. And she created a contest for the class. She said, "The top three scores by the end of the year, I'll take you to Kings Island."
Wow.
I was like, "What?" You know. And then back in the day, that was like the premier place to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I worked hard. You know, she did a lot of tutoring and whatnot. And she also pushed me to excel in reading. Because going backwards, when I was in the first and second grade, I was pulled out for reading instruction and math support. Didn't know what was going on at the time, but I just needed that additional help. But by the time I got to third grade, Miss Sinecki excelled me forward. So I was reading sixth, seventh, eighth grade books in the third grade. But I was still a little bit struggling with math. And so that additional help, then that incentive worked out. And by the end of the year, I was like number three in the class.
Right,
so I got a trip to Kings Island.
How was that King Island experience?
Oh, man.
Was it everything it was supposed to be?
It was beyond. So when we were there, it was me and two other students, two females.
Right.
And she challenged us. And this was when The Beast first came out.
Oh, wow.
So she's like, "We got to ride The Beast." And everybody was like, "Getting that thing." And she got upset. She's like, "I spent all my time on it." It's like, "All right, so I'll try it." And then, you know, I got on it and just she bought us a Beast t-shirt.
Wow.
So we conquered The Beast. So that was a great experience.
Yeah.
But she taught me how to think ahead about finding what each student needs and then planting the seed and then helping them reach that.
Right.
So she was very much into individualized instruction. She was all about praise and encouragement. So praise publicly, correct privately. Mm-hmm. And that's what that's I learned from her. And she was all, I mean, my mom loved her. She was all in on the whole child. Mm-hmm. And then, so Miss Sinecki, that was my first experience with a teacher like that. The second experience was Miss Moses, my sixth grade teacher. Mm. Now, Miss Moses was a beast, man. She was a beast. She did not play. Right, she had high expectations, but she supported everybody getting there.
Yeah.
And she had this look, man. So if you knew, if you were crossing the line, she just cut through this look, and then she would go in on you.
Right.
Just like she was your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had mad respect for Miss Moses. And then she... Again, she was another one that like saw potential and pushed me further. Mm-hmm. So she was giving me high school level books to read. Again, she differentiated her instruction. So it's like a three or four or five of us that she worked with individually because she saw we needed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But she also saw in some areas we needed by more, meaning more challenging work. Right. In other areas, we needed more support.
Gotcha.
And again, there was no like particular language for that like mm-hmm. it is now. Mm-hmm. It was just, that's just what she did.
What we did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned a lot from her and we still keep in touch.
Wow.
Just through Facebook. Yeah. Cannot find Miss Sinecki. I've tried to reach out to her looking for her, but I can't find her. But Miss Moses, she and I still keep in touch.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025 or visit our website at tfsn.net.
Yeah.
You know, I said back in the day, being over at Linden, you were a great athlete. Then in college, you played football mm-hmm. and you ran track at Wittenberg. Can you talk about that experience and how that helped you in school leadership?
What's funny is I never looked at myself as a leader. Mm-hmm. I truly didn't. Mm-hmm. The first time I think it came to mind was Mr. West, my PE teacher at Linmore. End of the year, you know, they have these awards and stuff like that. And so I was just sitting there in the library just talking during his ceremony. And he said, the sportsmanship award goes to Dwight Carter. And I was just like, what? Just shocked.
Right.
So then that got me thinking. Then I was constantly elected for leadership positions, you know, student council president or vice president, team captains, like, again, things that I didn't pursue. And so when I got to high school, I was lucky enough to play varsity as a freshman. We had a smaller team. But still, we had a freshman and JV team. Mm. But I was lucky enough to play varsity. So I hung out with some of the older guys. Mm. So watching them and how they interact with other people. And then, like I said, just through student leadership positions, was constantly tapped to do those things. Not pursuing it, but it's just, I guess, by behavior. Mm. People just assumed that I was ready for that position. And then through college, I never thought I would be a college athlete because by the time I got to my senior year, nobody was knocking on the door hey, we want to bring you to our campus until, again, that happened. So we had a assistant football coach from Wittenberg University named Tim Nolan. He came out. He was a charmer. Mm-hmm. Coach Nolan had, the nerdy glasses and the button-up suit, and he was just talking about Wittenberg University.
Right.
Never heard of it. And I immediately said, look, I'm not going to a liberal arts college because it's too expensive. My sister was at Muskingum at the time.
Okay.
So I knew how much of a leap that was for us financially. Right. So I was just like, nope, I'm not even going to consider that route. And he's like, hold on, let's wait. Just wait a minute. He said, how about we set up for a visit? So my mom and I went up there and we fell in love with the campus because of the way they treated everybody there. Mm-hmm. Like we were walking up and down the campus and everybody was just saying, hey, how you doing? And we're looking at each other like, do you know them?
Right.
But that was just the culture of the school.
Right.
And so from there, decided to go there, and immediately I connected with all the coaches. My football coaches were tough, But, you know, we connected with each individual coach. So I was, my head coach was my position coach. So he and I didn't get along that first year at all. Then I had a position coach, Coach Fincham. He and I didn't get along. The common denominator was me. So I walked in with this huge chip on my shoulder. It was a 95-90% white liberal arts culture that I never experienced. So I'm coming from Linden, majority black, inner city. It was a culture shock. And I didn't know, I wasn't mature enough to respond to that. So I was just very angry, very upset. Plus, I was reading more books and just becoming more exposed to things and just seeing things from a broader perspective. And that led to learning about myself, connecting with coaches, and then humbling myself to listen to them and say, hey, here's, you have a lot of potential, but you got to get rid of your attitude. And then Coach Fincham and I, we connected as, he was my hurdler, my position, or my hurdler coach. So he and I connected through that. Had a lot of success my freshman year in track. I mean, a lot of success. Broke a couple records. Was all conference. And that gave me more confidence to be a better football player. Started lifting and working out and things like that. And all that led to being elected captain three out of 4 years for track. And then captain my senior year in football. Never expected that whatsoever. Again, 4 years before, I didn't think I was even playing college football. And 4 years later, I'm elected team captain. Again, not pursuing anything. It's just more so, I think it was just through modeling. And how I treated my teammates.
It's something how, you know, God definitely has a plan. He has a plan for our life. You know, we're just trying to figure out, wow, how did this happen? You know, what's going on here? But it's all in God's hand and God's plan. You know, I know you're a strong man of faith. Can you talk about your faith journey? Let me read this one scripture that I was doing some research on. That's one of your favorites, Psalms 91. One, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, why is that so special to you?
It's protection. It's protection. It's guardianship. It's comfort. And it's assurance. Because again, especially in today's rapidly changing world, things are changing so quickly that it's hard to see. It's hard to have a strong foundation. So relying on that scripture, I found that one back in, actually I got that from a student gave that to me. She looked up Dwight and that was the scripture that came with it. Because Dwight means consecrated leader. And then that's the scripture that that's a part of it. So with that one, I sort of adopted that one and started living my life according to that. And so what that truly means to me is if I lean and trust on him, then everything's going to be okay. I may not be able to see it, but that's where the faith comes in. But everything eventually will be okay.
That's good. That's good. You know, you've been blessed to be a principal of some of the top high schools in Central Ohio, you know, Gahanna Lincoln, New Albany. How did those opportunities come about?
Man, I have no idea.
It's God again.
I truly don't. So, funny story. I never, ever had a thought in my mind about being an administrator. Never. So I think it was my sixth year in teaching. A guy named John Howard, he was a retired high school principal, Lincoln High School principal. And things were different back in the 90s. So he would just, he's walking the neighborhood and we were in an outside building from the main campus. So I was teaching freshman at Lincoln High School. He would just pop in my classroom, hang out in the back. And then class is over. He's like, hey, you ever thought about administration? Nah, never. I'm never going, quote unquote, never going to the dark side. He walk out the door. A month or two later, he comes back in, sits in the back, said, man, great, you know, young man, you have a lot of, you know, you have a great rapport with the kids. Have you thought about administration? Never. John, I'm not doing it. Stop asking. Then Sherry Dunlap, my principal, tapped me to be a leader of a group called the Critical Friends Group, which is a professional learning community for educators. And we just talked about, we examined our work. We observed one another. We did like article studies and book studies, and we just grew professionally without administrative oversight. We just like, what do we need professionally and how can we support each other? Well, she tapped me out of all the educators in the building to be the leader of that group. So as I was going through training, I was also leading the group. And it wasn't until that training that I thought, maybe I could do administration. Maybe I could be an administrator. And then 2 years later, I was enrolled in Ashland University to get my master's in administration. And so I got hired at Lincoln High School where I was a teacher to be an assistant principal. Did that for 3 years. Then I got hired as a middle school principal in Gahanna Middle School East. Did that for 3 years. And then, by the grace of God, I'm then named the principal of Lincoln High School, which was at the time the largest high school in Central Ohio. Oh, yeah. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever see that happening. But it was one of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, fast forward now, you're currently director of student support services for the Eastland Fairfield Career and Technical School District. You know, as we think about young people today, why are support services so important to them, first off? And then secondly, as you reflect on those two decades, what are some unique needs of today's students?
Yeah, so student services are important. It's more like a wraparound service. Mm-hmm. So I, in my position, my department oversees three main buckets of schools. We oversee climate and culture, health and wellness, and intervention services. So with climate and culture, it's all about that sense of belonging, building that trust, that psychological safety. Essentially, that's all about the adult behavior. Mm-hmm. What types of behaviors are the adults modeling so that students can feel safe, ready to learn? Climate and culture. Health and wellness is all about the physical, mental, and emotional health, which I'm going to stop there. That's one of the greatest needs now we see in school. Mm-hmm. It's more students are coming with mental health concerns and issues than ever before. For a number of reasons. We're still dealing with post-pandemic, the isolation. There's a lot of fear of missing out through social media. So there's a bunch of comparison. And comparison automatically leads to unhappiness because if you always think you don't have as much as other people. This generation is the first generation that has grown up with technology from birth to now. So they're inundated with images and messages and a lot of content, which is easy to compare to. So they're bringing that to the schoolhouse and having a lot of mental health issues with their, that's leading to anxiety, depression, suicide ideation, like never before. Mm-hmm. And so I think those things were very harsh realities. So as a school and student support systems, we have to think about what systems do we have in place to support the academic, social, emotional, and the developmental needs of all of our students. And so that's what we're looking at now. Plus, we're also looking at it's no longer college or bust. Mm-hmm. Now it's multiple pathways. Yeah. And that's now the adults in the lives of the kids accept that there's more than one pathway to success. That means how our school is going to support those multiple pathways. So at our school, at our district, we say we're getting kids ready for one of four E's. Entrepreneurship, enrollment, like future education, enlistment in the armed forces, or employment. So it's not their only E, it's their next E. Mm-hmm. And so we provide supports or set up supports to help the students identify that E and then help them get there.
Mm, that's good. Yeah. You know, when you think about, this is a podcast about legacy. When you think about that word, what does that word mean to you?
That's a great question. Last night where I was at my uncle's funeral and his son talked about legacy and his legacy and what that actually looks like. So I'll wrap it up in the definition of, like, your life has more impact beyond your existence. But I can't determine my legacy now because I think that's for other people to decide. Mm-hmm. I can say what I want.
Right.
But if my behavior doesn't line up with what I say, then I don't know if my legacy will exist.
Right.
But I would say based on feedback that I get from previous students over the last 29 years. I would say I have a pretty strong legacy, but again, it's really defined by what other people's experience and what they remember. Because one thing that I learned from a great friend of mine is that we can't choose what people decide to remember. And so we can have an interaction that we forgot all about, but for them, it was a world changer, either positively or negatively. But that's also part of legacy.
So I think about those different and just, this is our first time meeting, but knowing you and just hearing about you, you've always left wherever you've gone and left, you always left something to be built on. You know, what are those pillars that you leave at a school when you leave a school? What are those pillars?
I would say it's my acronym, GREAT. Mm-hmm. So be great is like the sign off that I have for all.
Okay.
You know, all emails and just pretty much my sign off.
Right.
But it's more than just the word. There's a five principles that I really tried to live my life by. By no means am I perfect at these pillars, and no means do I do them every day. So it's be grateful, So have a legacy of gratitude, be relational, which is, you know, establish strong relationships where once you have that strong relationship, strong bond, pretty much anything's possible.
Right.
To be enthusiastic, that's the E. And that just means, are you living your purpose and do you know what that is? And then be authentic. Are you bringing your true self? And are you creating conditions for other people to be them true selves? And then the last is T, which is to be teachable. Yeah.
Good,
so I try to live my life by those five principles. And then hopefully I've left that legacy where I've been. But more importantly, I'm going to make sure I leave that legacy at home with my daughter.
Amen. Yeah. You know, speaking of that, that gets us right into our next topic about your book.
Yeah.
Particularly, I know you co-authored several books. And this new book is, last book is Be Great, Five Principles to Improve School Culture from Inside Out. What was the vision behind that book?
Like I said, those five pillars, but it was more so about how is each individual person taking responsibility for the culture they want to have in the school building. Sometimes we look to the leader to define the culture. One person can't define the culture. It takes the consistent behavior of all the adults in the building.
Right.
And so it's an inside out approach. How we show up and how we show up every single day, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about the people that we're serving, and then the conditions you want to create, that's all self-driven, completely self-driven. So that's why it's from an inside out. So my whole approach was, don't look to other people to determine what the culture is. You as an adult in the school building, you can determine what that culture is. And then if it's aligned with the, you know, the core values of the school and in the district, and a lot of magic can happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have a mantra that's how can I be greater than I was yesterday? How can I be greater? For our audience, can you kind of talk a little bit about that? You know, how you can be greater than I was yesterday?
Well, the whole notion goes back to, what impact do you want to make each day? And can you bring your best every day? It doesn't mean you're bringing the best, but are you bringing your best today? For example, you could be going through in a very difficult time. So there's a lot of factors and circumstances there that you're not being the best. But for that day, you're giving your very single best. And so and what that means basically is are you able to make 1% improvement today than you did yesterday? Because we're either improvement or we're not. My wife reminds me of that all the time. So we're either making progress or we're not. And so it's the same notion of, what can I do today to be better than I was yesterday? And so for me, I had to learn how to reduce my to-do list.
Okay.
Because when I first became a principal, I would have a to-do list of 10 or 12 items and I would leave deflated every single day because I never got to those items. Then I, you know, actually Tony Stive, the basketball coach, he and I had a conversation. He said, Dwight, reduce your list. It's like, what are the two or three most important things you need to do today and focus on those things? So when I started doing that, When I got those two or three things done, I felt like I was better that day than I was yesterday. And I was able to leave room for the happenstance that goes that goes with just being a principal. Because you cannot control all the variables and you don't know what's walking through that door.
Right.
You can have an agenda, but that can go out the window in one quick second. So once I learned to do that, I started to enjoy the job a lot more and I started enjoying life a lot more because I felt like I was hitting those big rocks, and the little things just weren't that important.
Wow, that's powerful. Cut down that list.
Yes,
good. That's a good word.
Yeah.
You know, lastly, as we come around the corner, can you give a word to current school leadership, the importance of building a legacy, you know, not just for everywhere they go, leaving a legacy or building that. Can you leave a word?
Yeah. As a leader, people are talking about you with or without your knowledge. That's just a part of leadership.
It's good.
The question you have to ask yourself is, do I worry about what people say? Do I care about what people say? And my pastor, my former pastor, always say, you care about people, what people say, but you can't worry about it. Because some of that stuff you can't control. So as a young leader, let's say school administrator, focus on building the positive relationships. Focus on being clear in how you communicate, and then focus on providing with others a clear direction and path that you want to go. And I think the sky's the limit.
Wow. Well, Dwight, this has been a great conversation. I want to leave this. I want you to share with the audience, you know, how they can contact you. You do a lot of speaking, mm-hmm. and also how they can purchase the book, Be Great.
Let's start with the second part first. All right. So if you go to Amazon and just search Be Great, Five Principles, you can, the book will pop right up.
Right.
We'll appreciate a purchase.
Right. Right.
And then you can contact me through a number of ways. You can reach me on LinkedIn at Dwight Carter. You can reach me on Twitter or X,
yeah.
at Dwight_Carter, or you can email me at MrDwightCarter@gmail.com.
Wow, this is great. Well, Dwight, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for being an inspiration and a blessing to so many students and administrators. And your work is not done.
I appreciate that.
You said it earlier how you're still building that legacy. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to get you on here now so people would can be encouraged. They can be encouraged about the great things that you've done and just to continue building that legacy. So to our audience, this has been an inspirational a conversation. I hope that you enjoyed it. And I look forward to having more conversations on Be a Baller Podcast. Thank you all for listening to Be a Baller Podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller Podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Tehran Howe and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.